Well, good morning to all the people out there who are joining us, or good afternoon, good evening, if you're watching later. If you have a Bible with you that you're following along, turn to Acts 29. We're going to wrap up our study on the book of Acts. So if you actually turn to your Bible, you'll realize there isn't an Acts 29 to be found there. I think that joke might have had more effect if we had a crowd here. Thank you for the laughter, though. So we're wrapping up our study through the book of Acts. And so today's kind of a transition day, a summary day. And, you know, it's kind of a challenge. So I have some ambitious hopes here. And so I'm going to pray again, asking God's help to make it through this and that it comes out clearly and it wraps up what we're doing here and sets the stage for where we're going next. And if God has other ideas, then he has the freedom to change that direction. But God, we just ask, as we look at your word, as we're summarizing and we're putting, we're synthesizing and we're condensing large portions of scripture into a message here, that we would honor your word, that we would honor you, that we would glorify you, that we would teach and speak truth, that hearts and minds would be stirred up, that Bible geeks, people that love scripture and know it well, that their heads would be spinning with things to study and things to learn and places to look and cross-references, and people that don't know the Bible well, that they will be able to follow along and have an understanding of major themes in the Bible and what God's doing, and that all of our hearts would be stirred to love you more, to give ourselves to you more completely, and to be committed to your cause. I pray in Jesus' name. Okay, so we wrapped up Acts 28 last week, and I was just reading through just the last page that happens to be on my Bible. It's Acts 28:23, and it says, from morning till evening, Paul had called the Jews to him, and he's testifying to the kingdom of God. First thing that stood out to me is I love that. Paul's preaching the kingdom of God. If you read the Gospels, Jesus proclaimed and taught the kingdom of God. And I love that the Bible has a coherent message. It has a message that starts at the beginning and continues, that God has a plan that doesn't change, that exists and that he pursues and that he makes a way to accomplish, and we're a part of that, and his plans and his purposes for us are good. Paul's preaching the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, and make note of those words, because you think, well, the kingdom of God just appears first in the Gospels. Jesus comes teaching the kingdom of God, but we're going to look and see that this is what God has in mind all along, and we're to proclaim it. We're to announce its arrival, announce that it's here, announce that it's accessible, that you can enter in, that it's near, that God has made a way. And it goes on, and then it wraps up with Paul in custody in Rome. And remember, if you heard me preach, when Paul was first taken into custody in his trials, Luke was very careful and specific to overlay Paul's trial and the events and even the language used, the types of people, the nationalities or the powers that they represent, that put Paul on trial were exactly identical to how Jesus was put on trial. And so he overlaid Paul's trial. And yet when he wraps up Acts, we don't have Paul dying. We don't have Paul being crucified. We don't have Paul, the resurrection of Paul. And so there is a distinction there. The people of God will experience the same trials and the sufferings and be treated similar to their king. And yet his death has taken place for us. And so there is a distinction, obviously, between Paul and Jesus. So it says, it wraps up, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God. There it is again. Teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And so in stories, in literature, In storytelling, we have what we call plot. We have this plot that stories follow. It's a storyline, and all stories essentially follow the same plot, where they have an opening, a beginning, and you kind of understand some of the characters and the setting and the stage is set. And shortly into the story, conflict is introduced, and the rest of the story is overcoming this conflict, where you climb to a dramatic climax, and then the action continues, but it moves towards a resolution, and then it's wrapped up. And what we don't have really in Acts, we don't have a resolution. Luke cuts the book off. He ends it here. There's more to Paul's story. It's not necessarily a biography of Paul. There's more to the history of the church. There's not a resolution. And essentially, what Luke is saying is, what he's showing is, this story continues. And reader, if you're a reader and you're a follower of Jesus, you are a continuation of the Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, really. You could think of it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the move of the church, the move of God, what God's doing in history after the climax of the cross. And so the way that this ends is to make us realize and think, we're a part of this. This is continuing. We're a part of this ongoing action. The mission continues. So I kind of want to look at that. So what is the mission? I like where the Bible summarizes things for us. So one way you could summarize the mission that continues, you could go back to Acts. And so we're going to work backwards through some scriptures and then jump ahead. Okay? So maybe what the mission is, not maybe, yes, absolutely. Part of the mission is, one aspect, one way to understand the mission is Acts 1:8. Jesus had met with his disciples. This is the beginning of Acts. And they wanted to know when he would restore the kingdom. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So maybe that's a good summary of what's going on in Acts. The Holy Spirit comes in power, and God's people, his church, are witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, and it begins to spread. It goes to all of Judea, it goes to Samaria, it goes to the ends of the earth. Now, Rome was, at least to the Romans, was considered the center of the earth. Paul has made his way. The church has gone from Jerusalem to Rome. The gospel's gone from Jerusalem to Rome. Not really the ends of the earth. So the story continues to take the gospel. Another way to think of it is if you look at Matthew 28. It's a continuing of the Great Commission. Jesus told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So it's a continuation of the Great Commission. Jesus said, you're going to go and make disciples of all nations. The gospel hasn't yet gone to all nations in Acts or even today. In Luke 24, Jesus said, thus it's written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's what we saw in Acts. It's the beginning, what we saw in Acts. It began in Jerusalem. You're to be my witnesses of these things. And it also says that when the gospel of the kingdom goes to all nations, then the end will come. So Jesus is concerned, and what it means is all ethnicities, panta to ethne, I believe is the Greek. It means this gospel, Jesus wants it to go to every ethnicity. He wants in his kingdom the full diversity of earth. He wants people from every tribe and tongue, language, and nation. And that hasn't happened. Actually, there's a website you can go to. I think it's called the Joshua Project. And I looked up the statistics, and they have, by the way, it was Matthew 24:14 where he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. There's 17,428 people groups or ethnicities in the world, according to this this website. And there's 7,410, I believe is the number, that they still say are unreached. They don't have a self-sustaining gospel witness. They don't have a church. Okay, so if you're one of those person that studies end times and you're looking at things in the world and you say, you know, the end is coming, there's still unreached people groups. And according to Jesus, there's work to be done. Now that number, you know, the world's getting smaller and smaller every day. And more and more people are having the privilege and opportunity to hear about Jesus. But they define unreached as they don't have a self-sustaining church, a church made up of people of that ethnicity who are existing in their geographic region or community. Okay, so that's how we could, that's one way we could think about Acts. It's and what we're doing today. It's a continuation of Acts 1:8. It's a continuation of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Another way to think of it, and I'm going to jump way back because I just can't tackle huge amounts of scripture. It's a continuation of the covenant and promise that God made with Abraham. And God took Abraham and he told him to go to a place that he will show him, childless. And he said, I'll make you a father of nations. And basically he said, I will bless you, and through you, through your offspring, the whole world will be blessed. And so there's a covenant that God makes with Abraham, and two realities or two themes that we see over and over in Scripture are covenant and kingdom. And if you've been with Harvest for a while, you've heard us teach about this years back. But there's these two realities that coexist. It's covenant and kingdom. And one way I think about it is relationship, and responsibility is not the right word, but you know, there's a relationship that we have with God, and then there's a role, a task that we take on in being a person of God and living out that relationship in the world. Another way to think of it, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And I'd already used the words rule and reign. And I want you to see something here. And by the way, we're going to be looking deeper into Genesis. We're going to be looking into these things. I'm really excited to dive in and to study this. But I want you to see what's going on here, okay? God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God has created man. He's created man in his image. He's given them dominion, and he calls for them to subdue, rule, and reign. Okay, God is establishing a people that are his to rule and reign, to extend a kingdom over the earth. And when you hear those words, dominion and subdue, and I don't know the Hebrew, I haven't looked deep enough in that yet, but I'm excited to go there. They seem to have a harsh connotation to my ears. Have dominion and subdue. It means like you beat it into submission. You wrestle it under control. You make it your slave. But God's created a garden, and he tells us to be fruitful and multiply, and he wants the earth to be fruitful and multiply. And I think one way to think about that is tending a garden. You know, if you have a forest can be fruitful. It can multiply. You can go out in the forest. I don't know if you still can. You can find mushrooms. You know, different times of the year you can find, and this is a temperate forest, an Indiana forest, you can find acorns, you can find sustenance, you can find water, and you can find squirrels. But if you take that landscape and you prune it and you tend it and you garden it, you can increase the fruitfulness of that. And you don't want to destroy it. You don't want to kill it. You don't want to pillage it, because you'll ruin the fruitfulness, right? And so we need to look into the understanding of that. But what we have from the beginning is God wanting people who rule and reign, who spread his kingdom. Do you see the kingdom words in there? Over the earth. And we know we have the conflict that enters in Genesis chapter 3. We have the fall of man. And it seems that God's desire is thwarted. His purposes are hindered. It seems at the time that they're ruined. But we always see God making a way and securing for himself a people, looking for a remnant, looking for people who will enter covenant with him and help him accomplish his purposes on earth. And this isn't just my own idea. Like I said, I love verses that give us summaries, kind of a summary of the gospel or a summary of what God's doing. And so I have a couple of them here from the New Testament. One's from Peter, one's from Paul. I'll read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10 to you. And this is talking about the people, the Jesus followers. It says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy," it means set apart, "nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He's talking to Christians here. Now, these are not just Jews. These are Gentiles, people from every ethnicity. He says, "You're a royal priesthood." Royalty has to do with kingdoms, right? The people of God, God's saying, "You're a royal priesthood. You're to rule like a priest." A priest is a go-between, someone that connects people to God, brings them into relationship. You have covenant and kingdom in this passage. And our job is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'll read the next sentence there. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We're called to proclaim, to exhibit, to show, to display to the world the excellencies of God. I hope you're following. I'll try to tie this together. Look at Titus chapter 2 as well. Paul's writing to Titus. In verse 11, he starts to give a summary of the move of God, the gospel. And it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." It's all nations, all people. "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, this is the part I really want to focus in on. "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who were zealous for good works." So God wants a people, his own people, a people in relationship with him for his own possession, covenant. He wants people in a covenant. And we had no collaboration on the songs, but you sang about covenant today. He wants a people for his own possession who were zealous for good works. And that word means boil, zealous. Like, it means to boil or to burn, to bubble. So what God's doing, one of his overarching ambitions, his meta themes of the Bible, is God is pursuing a people that will walk in covenant, in relationship with him, who will rule and reign on the earth, who will rule and reign, who will burn for good works. And we know from Jesus that we're to let our light shine so that men might see our good works and do what? Praise our Father. Give glory to God. So from the beginning, with Adam and Eve in the garden, man and woman, God wants a people in relationship with him who will rule and reign. Now, like I said, we have rule and reign. We don't really understand that, I don't think. And this is where I've spent a lot of time reflecting, and I'm starting to understand it more fully. I don't have a book to write about this. But one of the things I thought of is They made him in their image. He made people in his image, and he gave him dominion, and he wanted him to subdue and to be fruitful and multiply. And I was thinking about, in Colossians, Paul said that Jesus is the image of God. He's the image of the invisible God. Now, Jesus, in a unique way, he is God. So in a unique way, he's the image of God. But he's also fully man. And so the humanity of Jesus is to show us what it's like to be the image of God and how we are to rule and reign. And when you read the Gospels and you hear about Jesus proclaiming the kingdom, he has dominion over sickness. He has dominion over disease. He has dominion. Remember the fig tree that wasn't fruitful? I was thinking about this. He cursed it and it died. It wasn't fruitful. He was tending the garden. He was increasing the fruitfulness, and he was pruning the parts that weren't fruitful, which is John 15. Out of relationship, we're fruitful. We're to prune the garden of our soul to increase the fruitfulness, but the life only flows if we abide in him. We abide in him, covenant, and we're fruitful, good works, kingdom. Does that make sense? There's a few people here. And so God, from the beginning to the end, this is what he's for. This is what he's about. This is what he's doing. And so this is a way to understand Acts. And we preach the kingdom of God. The reign of God is here. The rule of God is here. And we can enter in and become a royal priesthood where we can extend that. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray that to God that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is a petition, it's a request, but it's also to pray that is to commit yourself to bringing that about and to seeing that happen and to seeing that come on earth. And this is what is still going on today. We're heralds. We bring good news. We don't just bring good advice. We're proclaiming good news. The kingdom is here. You can enter in and you can be a part of it. And the story goes on. It's not finished. Acts isn't finished. We are to continue that mission. We are to continue to take that. You know, we have this virus going on. And, I don't want to get all hyper-spiritual, but I was thinking if we're to have dominion and we're to reign and to subdue even the creation, even the good creation, what does that mean for viruses? They're part of that creation. You know, I don't want to be hyper-spiritual or anything, but it's like, we can have dominion. We're to subdue. And, you know, doctors are doing that. Animals aren't doing that, by the way. You know, like, you don't go out in the woods and the squirrels aren't coming together to find a way to subdue this virus. Humanity is working towards that. And when I see that, I think, well, it's because they're made in the image of God and we're given a mandate to have dominion and to subdue. So I don't think it's a bad thing that we're trying to find a way, you know, I don't know that anybody does. But they're just living out what they were created to do. We're trying to find a way to subdue it. We're trying to have dominion over this. For my charismatic friends, you know, I know that they're claiming dominion and they're trying to subdue, you know, and they're claiming in prayer victory and they're walking in faith, and I'm not putting that down by any means. You know, I think if we're understanding the kingdom, I think that's probably what we should be doing. And I'm sensitive to the fact that we have Christians of all traditions and backgrounds, so I won't say being political, but I'm just treading lightly. Okay. So maybe that was confusing for you, and I'll just move on. The point I'm trying to make is that from the beginning of time, God is wanting a people for his possession. That's what Peter said. That's what he told Abraham. That's what it says in Titus. That's what Jesus said, the kingdom's going to go to the whole world. We're going to make disciples. We're going to train them, teach them everything he said so that they can rule and reign, that they can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And I was looking at, you know, thinking about Genesis, thinking about Acts, and I also was then looking at Revelation. And one of the things I learned this week, and I may have heard it, I didn't know, but scholars look at, you have the first three chapters of Genesis, first book of the Bible. And if you look at the last three chapters of Revelation, they're a reversal of what happens in the first three chapters of Genesis. So Genesis, the third to last chapter of Revelation starts with Satan being destroyed. The third chapter of Genesis is where Satan enters in and curses man. So I want to turn there, and I'm on the theme of rule and reign. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones. So we think kingdom of God. We think Jesus is the king. Jesus is going to reign. But there's thrones. And seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who'd been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You have the people of God ruling and reigning with Christ. Christ is the king. We're not taking his place, but they're ruling and reigning with him. We're seeing God getting back. He's got his people. They're sealed. We see the bride of Christ, God entering into covenant with people. And by the way, I think it's in Revelation 19, the bride is beautifully adorned. But it says, in fine linen, and it talks about that. And it says that it's the righteous deeds of the saints. The bride of Christ, the people of God, their beautiful adornment is their righteous deeds. And obviously we know we're also clothed in Christ. He washes us white as snow. But those go hand in hand. We're washed clean by Christ. We're given the Holy Spirit and empowered to do righteous deeds. They're one and the same. So what we see is from the beginning to the end, there's a cohesive story here. There's a God in pursuit of people who are zealous for good works, who perform righteous deeds, who are a royal priesthood, who rule and reign, who bring the kingdom of God to earth. And we're to proclaim that to the ends of the earth so that every ethnicity, every people group, the full diversity of humanity on earth have the opportunity to hear and respond and receive. That's going to happen. Now, if you were hearing Jesus in Jerusalem to a scared, frightened group of people hiding behind closed doors, you know, beginning of Acts, if you heard that claim, you know, that's a bold claim. My message is going to go to all the nations. And at that time, Jesus knew, but the common understanding, they didn't understand the scope of the earth, the full, the full size and population of the earth. But that's a bold claim. And yet, I hope it builds faith in you to see that that is exactly what's happening, exactly what's been happening, exactly what's gone on since the Holy Spirit came, and it's continued to spread, and it's continued to fill the earth, and it's continuing to go out and bring in new people and new people groups and reach new ethnicities. For me, when I look at that, that just builds my faith. Jesus is true. Jesus is real. The things he said are happening and are trustworthy. And he wants a people for his possession who bring his kingdom into reality on earth. Does that make sense? And so, I hope you see this as kind of wrapping up Acts in a way. It's not wrapped up. It's continuing on. And tying it back to Genesis, to the beginning. Tying it to Revelation, to the end. God's after the same thing. And I guess where I want to wrap up is a question to you. God is a good father. He's a good God. He's benevolent, if you want to use a big word. and you look at Christ, you look at Jesus living, coming to earth, walking in perfection. You see the way that he rules and reigns. He takes the towel, he washes the feet, a bruised reed he doesn't break. He cares for the lowly, he cares for the diseased, he cares for the sick, he cares for the hungry, he cares for the weak. This is how you rule and reign. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And then not only that, he lives the Beatitudes. He turns the other cheek. He lives that perfection. He blesses his enemies. He prays for those who persecute him. He goes to the cross, forgiving his enemies, willingly dying a brutal death in our place, rising on the third day. He's resurrected, he lives, he gives his spirit, and he extends the invitation to us. And so we see what God wants. His motives are clear. So the question to the Harvest family, to the people in the gym, to people in the internet world, is will you respond to God's desire for you? God wants you in his family. And this theme is extended. You can read in Romans about adoption. God has paid the adoption fee. He's adopted us into into his family. He's removed every barrier. Nothing can separate us from his love. He wants you to be part of his people for his possession. And that's not, you know, that's not a static reality. Like you just come in and then things are the same and they never change and there's no point, there's no mission. You're just going to do church things. No. He's inviting you to this mission to extend the kingdom, to extend the reality, to proclaim the good news. And my question is, will you give him what he wants? Will you give him yourself? He wants to purify you for his possession. He's not saying, purify yourself and then come ask me. He said, come to me, I'll purify you for my possession. And you will be zealous for good works. That's going on. That's continuing. And I hope I've been clear, and I hope that the Holy Spirit is going out and stirring up a desire in your heart for these things. As you look at the world, that your heart burns to bring glory to God through good works, that people look at your life and look to God and give him glory and want to join his family, want to become a part of the mission. They want to get saved. They want to know Jesus. They want to enter into that covenant and extend the kingdom. And if you're a skeptic, then I hope you'll look at the Bible with fresh eyes, that you'll see, you know, this is a collaboration. This is many books written over hundreds of years by many different authors. And yet the spirit that is animating and motivating and breathing these words is the same, and there's a coherent mission. There's a coherent message that extends from beginning to end. God is good. God is wise. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He can bring about, he will bring about what he set out to do. Will you be a part of it? I want to pray for you. Worship team, would you want to do a song? Thank you. We'll wrap up with that. And I know you're at home, you're on the couch, your kids are climbing on you, your dog's barking, the sun's shining, praise the Lord. But let's take a moment. Let's reflect upon these things. And let's ask ourselves, where we're at. Let's reflect. And let's respond to God's word, to God's prompting, to God's spirit. And let's give him ourselves. Father, I pray for this message. I pray that I was at least somewhat as coherent as your scripture is. And it came out clearly that your heart was a little bit more revealed, that people would understand you a little bit deeper, and that they would respond with joy and with love. The angels that proclaimed your message said that they brought good news of great joy for all people. And I pray that we would respond with this to this good news, that it would stir up in us great joy to respond to you, to be in covenant, enter in covenant with you through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, that we would rule and reign in his kingdom, that we would bring his kingdom to earth, taking the authority that he has, all authority in heaven and on earth, and under that we go into the world to preach the good news and bring the kingdom. I ask you to move, God. I'm excited to do this in front of people, with people, real people, not just internet people that are also real, to be able to pray for people, to be able to reach out to them, God. And so we ask you to hasten that time, to move it quickly, to give us victory over the enemy that would seek to kill, steal, and destroy, God. We would move and walk in the abundant life that you came to give. Pray for all the people that are seeing this, that are watching this. I pray that you touch them, God, and you reach out to them. In Jesus' name, amen.